So when I was in college, one of the summers in college, I spent up in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. I spent it at the beach up there, and I was on a summer missions trip with Campus Crusade for Christ. And when you're on a summer mission team with Crusade, one of the obligations you have to do, or one of the things you have to do, is you have to get a summer job. And I found one right there on the boardwalk in Hampton Beach. And for my job, I was at a boardwalk food place. And so I prepared meals, I served meals. Kind of my big job that I had was that I prepared all of the onion rings. The onion rings at this particular place were really well known. Now, when I say I prepared onion rings, I mean I cut at least 50 pounds of onions each and every day, all day, all summer long. So every day I would go into work, I would have a good cry, and I would just cut, and I would cut, and I would cut. In fact, I'm actually missing a little part of my thumb from the slicer, unfortunately. So it turns out there is a small side effect to cutting 50 pounds of onions every day. I mean, I smelled like onions every day. And I lived in a house that summer with 35 other college students from around the country. And every time I walked into a room, people would know it. Like, oh, Chris is here. And unfortunately, I didn't date very much that summer. That was apparently smelling like onions was not a selling feature there. But you know, being a disciple of Christ is kind of like cutting 50 pounds of onions every day. Right? People should know who we belong to. Right? They should know who we belong to by the way that we live, by the way that we talk, by the way that we treat one another. You know, how we treat old friends and how we treat new acquaintances. And this is really what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. We've been talking about the necessary components or the necessary ingredients to discipleship. You know, what are those necessary components for someone who isn't just wanting to follow Jesus, but wanting to imitate Jesus? And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about ingredient number one, community, that we are not in this for or by ourselves, that God purposely, intentionally created us as a community. Right, that it is we, not me, but it is we. Ingredient number two, we talked about teaching and learning, that we are called to be a lifelong learners who pass on our faith. Right, all of what we have learned is not for us, but it's something that we have to share. And then last week we talked about transformation, and we recognized that being a disciple, having that disciple-making aspect in our lives, is not something that we can do on our own, but that we need the Holy Spirit's help, that the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and changes us and transforms us. We can, however, though, be doing things that place us in a position where the Spirit can have the most effect in our lives, where the Spirit can mold us. And so that brings us to today in our fourth and final ingredient, service. That if we want to be a healthy, holistic disciple, we need to have the ingredient of service in our lives. And so with that all being said, let's read this morning's scripture passage from John 13, verses 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, for their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said that not every one of them was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So these 12 men had been following Jesus now for a number of years. And they had seen Jesus do incredible things. They saw Jesus turn ordinary water into wine. They saw Jesus heal a blind man. They saw Jesus feed 5,000 with a handful of loaves and fishes. Lepers came to Jesus and they were cleansed. They were there as Lazarus walked out from the grave. Right? They were following Jesus because he was their teacher. Now, culturally, men in this time would enter into a learning commitment with a rabbi. You know, we would call them a teacher today, so that they could grow in their knowledge of Scripture. That these men were following somebody that they wanted to imitate. Someone that they would want to be like. You know, we are called to be imitators of Christ, both for our blessing and to bless the world that surrounds us. Now, what does it mean for us practically as we seek to imitate Jesus with our service? Well, first of all, I think it means that we're called to serve everyone. Okay, we're called to serve everyone. Now, serving can be very easy. Serving can be fun when we're doing it for people we love. You know, for instance, back in June, just prior to annual conference, I went up to annual conference early and spent some time with my parents. Now, you know, annual conference is normally in Grove City. This year it was in Erie, and my parents were from Erie. And so I got to go up there and help them with some things that needed to be done. They, you know, mom had a couple brand new universal remotes that had been sitting there for a while, and so I had to, you know, get in there and program them so that they could use their remote controls. But other than that, I trimmed trees and I trimmed the bushes, did some landscaping for them, moved stuff around the house that needed to be moved, and it wasn't a big deal. You know, I did this because I love my parents and I wanted to help them. It was something, you know, living 2 hours away, I wish I could do more of, but I can't. And then we have an instance like, you know, our youth just recently, this past summer, went down to West Virginia on a mission trip. Now, I've asked, and none of them knew any of the people that they were going down to serve, right? They went down because they simply wanted to love God and to love others. And so they felt compelled to go on this mission trip. And they had a blast. It was a blessing. They really enjoyed it. But what happens when we don't like the other person? You know, what if that person has done something to us and now we're in a position to help or not to help? Now, again, remember what we read in our passage. You know, Jesus knew that his time had come. He knew that in less than 24 hours he was going to be arrested, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be falsely tried, that he was going to be crucified. Additionally, Jesus knew who was going to start it all. And so can you imagine Jesus, who, you know, with great humility took off his clothes, wrapped himself with a towel, and is washing the feet of Judas, the man that had just sold you for 30 pieces of silver. Now, imitating Jesus means that our service is not confined to those people we like. And Jesus says this to us in Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 47. This is from the Message translation. You're familiar with the old law, the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone. Regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. You know, in today's vernacular, this might have been like what we would call a mic drop moment. Jesus is saying that Jesus is not some leader who simply says, don't do as I do, simply do as I say. Right? Jesus models the behavior he is asking us to follow. He washes Judas's feet and asks us to imitate him. That if we're going to choose, we don't get to choose who we're going to serve if we're going to imitate Jesus. Right? That choice is taken away from us. But secondly, we give up control when we serve. Now, as a do-it-yourselfer, an admitted do-it-yourselfer in many areas of your life, I must confess to you that I like control. Right? I imagine if I were to take a poll here today, that most of us, 99%, if not 100% of us, would say, yes, I like to be in control. Anybody here like to not be in control? Yeah, I didn't think there would be any takers, right? Because control gives us that sense of self-determination. It's that feeling that we can do it all on our own. And this, my brothers and sisters, flies in the face of our faith. Right? As believers in the Son of God, we understand that by our very nature, we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous. That you and I, we need the blood of Christ to cover our sinfulness. And like Peter, we are tempted to set up parameters around God. We say things like, God bless this people. God bless this country. God bless this circumstance. But when we turn over control to Jesus, we free ourselves to receive from him what he truly wants to give us. It reminds me of an Old Testament prophet, Jonah. Now, God wanted Jonah to go and to speak to the Ninevites. Now, the Ninevites to us, you know, we hear, well, Ninevites, okay, yeah. Ninevites were horrible, horrible people. Like, zero redeeming qualities when it comes to Ninevites. They had treated the nation of Israel horribly. They had treated the whole known world horribly. These were a nasty, barbaric people. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go and speak to them. And so Jonah runs. And he does everything he can in his power to wrest control away from God. And if you've never read the whole story of Jonah, you know, I'd encourage you to read that story. Needless to say, Jonah winds up spending a few days churning around in the belly of a whale as he comes to his senses. And Jonah listens to God and he obeys, and he goes and he speaks to a terrifying group of people, and a revival breaks out. When we imitate Jesus in our service, we should be saying, Lord, here I am. Use me as you will. Because we have to give up control when we serve as Jesus calls us to serve. Number three, service honors God. You know, I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again. How we live matters. Now, Jesus says to us, now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should go and wash one another's feet. Well, he's saying you should go and do likewise. He's asking us to be more than followers. He's calling us to be imitators. He's calling for you and I to choose to live in such a way that when people see us, they see Jesus. I mean, we are living in a confused time today. We are living in a discouraging time today. Values are turned upside down. People look for a reason to be critical of one another. But, you know, imitating Jesus leads us to serve rather than to attack. When we imitate Jesus, we seek to serve rather than to attack. And what it does, it produces forgiveness in our lives rather than bitterness. It zeroes in on the value and the potential of the person instead of focusing upon their blemishes, their failures, and their faults. And it's easy for the world to shrug off all this Jesus stuff as simply as nonsense. However, this love has been extended to us, and as a result, we ought to have this desire to serve and to reach out to others because it matters. Because it is just as important today for us to go and do likewise as it was for the disciples that he was speaking to back then in the upper room. Our world needs to see a group of ordinary people being led by the Holy Spirit who are willing to go out into this world and live like Jesus, to imitate Jesus to a watching world. Because God has chosen us. Like, we are plan A. There is no plan B. God has chosen us to be his messengers to this world, to say that, you know what? God loves you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God has given everything for you. I mean, as imitators of Jesus, right, we die to self, we take up the cross, and we follow after him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we pray that you would open our eyes to the opportunities we have to be in service, Lord, that there are needs that surround us all over the place. Give us the courage, Lord, to step into those voids. Give us the courage, Lord, to be Jesus, to live like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to love like Jesus. Give us the courage, Jesus, to be vulnerable and to step out in faith. Here we are, dear Jesus. Please use us. Use us as you will. It's in your name, O Savior, we pray. Amen. The missionary, Jim Elliot, if you recognize that name, you know, Jim and three others were missionaries in South America. They were reaching out to an indigenous tribe that there was virtually no contact with. And something terrible happened, miscommunication, and Jim and his three friends were killed. And Jim had a quote that he said as he was leaving. He and his family, he and his wife were traveling down to South America. And he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose." Right? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. You know, he went down there with that mindset, and Jim gave everything. There's a famous picture of Jim's wife, Elizabeth, cutting the hair of the man who killed her husband. Imagine, you know, you try to picture, you know, washing Judas's feet. The knowledge that this is the man that speared your husband to death. Well, because of Jim, because of his friends, because of Elizabeth's ministry to that tribe, they all became saved. It was like going to the Ninevites, right? There was a huge revival that happened. And so Elizabeth wasn't cutting the hair of the person who had killed her husband. You know, she was cutting the hair of a brother in Christ. In fact, this man became the grandfather to Jim's children. And when we are called to imitate Christ, we may be taken to places that we are not comfortable with. And we may be called to serve people we don't like. We will certainly be called to give up control. But let us remember that when we serve, we honor God. When we serve, we imitate our Savior Jesus. Right? And that is an incredibly safe place to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your word and how it challenges us to be more than we can be by ourselves. Lord, we recognize that we need your Holy Spirit to do this. We need your Spirit's help to serve those that we are angry with or those that we don't like. But Jesus, we pray that you would help us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow after you. And Jesus, as we give up control of our lives, something that is very unnatural, that Jesus, we would ask for your Holy Spirit's help and that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow after you. Jesus, help us in our service to imitate you. Help us in our service to glorify you. Here we are, Savior. Please use us. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.